ever looked, gone shopping, and you've looked at a picture on the wall of the model, or you've seen a mannequin? You've seen a mannequin, and you're like, that is a great outfit. Or you get on Pinterest, and you're like, I need, which that's kind of embarrassing that I get on Pinterest. My wife showed it to me. I need a great new outfit. And you see like an outfit, and then you go try to find that outfit. So you've got this picture in your mind of what it looked like on the model or mannequin. And then you put it on, and it looks like the grossest outfit you've ever worn in your life. And you're like, what happened? I don't understand. It looked so good. My expectation was going to be amazing. But the reality is I look busted in this, right? You know, like I look so bad. There's a big gap right now. We're in January. So how many of you are working on your bikini body? You're getting ready for summer. You're like, yeah, I love that fluff. You've got this picture. You look on Instagram fitness pages and you're like, six pack, obliques, veins. That's guys. Girls don't want veins. Girls are like tight butt, nice legs. I'm kidding. Sorry. I'm going too far. Praise God. Just us, just personal, just real. Yeah, here we go, amen. No, you shouldn't be amening to that at all. Let me go back to what I actually wrote. So maybe you're getting ready for your summer body, you're eating right, you're doing some cardio, and all of a sudden it's like spring break and it's like a massive wake-up call because you're like, what, how did spring break get here? I'm definitely gonna wear a long sleeve t-shirt to the pool. That's okay. I still have like two more months until June. So, and then all of a sudden you blink and it's June and they're like, hey, everybody come to the lake. And you're like, I'm busy. What are you doing watching Netflix? Right? Like I just can't, you can't. The expectation many times is different than the reality. And there's a gap there. When it comes to our ministry, there's a big gap. There's a big gap between expectation and reality, and the first thing we're going to address tonight is the gap of honor, is the gap of honor. Now, when I say honor, many of you can go to that maybe unhealthy pictures of honor where basically it's just like empty words where you're basically praising the people above you with these flowery words like, oh, great and mighty leader, how I honor you. You are so amazing. And you try to describe with a poetic language of how great the leader is. But many times you have actions that are empty. But the truth is honor is not about like laying down your shirt so that I can walk on it so I don't have to walk on this. It's not about like getting me the exact type of water I like. I like Vaz sparkling, but you have to get it from Europe, not America, because the European, like that's not really honor. And many times we have this misunderstanding of honor that it's one directional. Like it only goes up. Honor is like, okay, I'm supposed to honor my leader. Okay, Pastor Eric or Pastor Paul or Pastor Ashley, Pastor Natalie, you guys are great. But really, what honor is 360 degrees. And how well your honor goes down beneath you will determine how well your honor can go up, right? So how well you honor down and below you will determine and validate your upward honor. I can tell you as a pastor, I've seen it multiple times where someone who literally, I know they're not building the ministry. I know they're just taking up space. I know they're just existing. And they come and they're like, Pastor Eric, you're the greatest youth pastor in the world. And I'm like, bro, you're not honoring down. So the way you're honoring up right now doesn't mean a thing to me, right? Like the honor where I am honored is when you're honoring below, when you're pushing and driving honor as deep as possible. So what I want to do is just to kind of set some context and define what is honor. What does it mean, honor? Because you may have come from different environments, different places, and you might have a different understanding. So the purpose of setting our conversation for those listening here is honor is this. I'm going to read this. Is honor has several synonyms. Esteem, respect, pay homage to, assigning value to. The Greek word translated in honor in our English Bible is timaiou. Everybody say timaiou. Means to prize, fix valuation upon, or to revere. Here's what showing honor means is that it means treating another respectfully because we value them highly. Honor is value. Honor is, am I valuing those people beneath me, to the side of me, and above me? Romans 13, verse 7, Paul writes this, give everyone what you owe them. Everybody say, owe. If you owe taxes, pay tax. Let me ask you, do you ask the government, well, have you earned my taxes this year? Have you earned it? I'm not going to give you the taxes until you've earned it. No, they'll like throw you in jail. And we don't care if you feel like we earned it. We owe taxes, right? That's something that's almost like speaks of obligation. And it goes on, Apostle Paul moves on, and it says, if revenue, then revenue. When you go to the store and you take shirts and meals and all that kind of stuff, do you go, well, you really haven't earned it, so I'm not going to give it to you? No, you owe a payment because you've taken something. Here, Paul says the same thing. If honor, then honor those. Many times we have a misunderstanding that honor is only given when it's earned. But Paul says this, as an example of Christ, we are to owe honor or owe value to those around us. Right? I mean, didn't Christ do the same thing? He valued us before we earned it. He valued and placed honor and value and what does the definition say? Homage and revered us and loved us and placed a valuation upon us before we ever earned it. And that's the same thing that in our ministry we should be doing down and up and to the sides. All around us, we should be saying, you know what? I should be owing this person honor because I was given honor when I didn't earn it. Now, that's a good spot for an amen. That's a good spot for like, hallelujah, it's good. Christ had a different take on this. And in John 12, 26, he says this, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. So we're following Christ's model, and where I am, there my servant will be also, right? So we're his servants. We follow Christ in this. And if anyone serves me, being following him, guess what? My Father will honor. I think in a culture where sometimes we're driven on, well, you know, I need to get mine before I give it, Christ sets the example here and says this, listen, if you'll follow me, and if you'll give honor, which you owe to those you're doing life with and ministry with, and you serve me, guess what? My Father is going to honor you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather have the Father's blessing than something I've manipulated and conjured up, right? The blessing that comes from the Father is so much greater than that which I could conjure. So what we've done here is we've kind of built a picture of a definition of honor and built the purpose of gaps, and we're carrying a sword and a shield. And so now I want to move in, and what does that look like practically in our life? And how do we transition to go, okay, great, Eric, I understand a definition of honor. I understand that there's a gap in our ministry of honor. How do I begin to address this? How do we begin to shore up, carry that shovel and that sword in the gap where honor is missing? It's right here. Our mindset is that we are, as leaders, here's the deal. As leaders, as all of us in here, our first call is to serve people, right? If our job is to serve people, then many times the question goes, well, who do I honor? And the simple question is everyone, because Christ asked us to serve everyone, so therefore we owe honor to everyone. If I take a look at the opposite of what honor is, many times we have a misunderstanding, and we think dishonor is like defamation and like slander and like saying mean things about it. But here is the real reality, which we slip into so often. The opposite of honor is not slander and saying mean things or being rude, but the opposite of honor is allowing the things in our life to become common and ordinary. Common and ordinary. We stop honoring when we allow that individual, that voice, that ministry to become common and ordinary. Let me put it in a picture for you. If I allow my wife's voice to become common and ordinary in my life, I am no longer honoring her. Now, I'm probably not going to say bad things about my wife. I'm not going to post like mean like subtweets about Natalie, like wish somebody would make a meal, right? Like, you know, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. She's great. You're great. I'm just being stupid. I'm probably not going to slander her or say horrible things, but I'm allowing, here's what I'm doing. I'm allowing her voice to be just another voice. I'm allowing that voice to just become ordinary. And honor looks like this. When she speaks to me, if I am honoring her voice, I am fully engaged in her voice. I am leaned in. I am not distracted. I'm not on my phone. I'm not worrying about other things. I'm not on my laptop. I am listening intently to her. If she's just another ordinary common voice in my life, then yeah, I can easily be distracted. I can move on. When she makes a request of me, if it's just another ordinary common voice in my life, then I might do it half-heartedly. I might when I get around to it. But if I'm honoring her, then I'm 100% enthusiastically leaning into that. Now, if I'm honest, I'm still working on that. So if you guys could pray for me on that, I'm learning. Amen. We got an amen corner over here. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What are the things in your life and in this ministry, whether it's something as a first-time guest walking in the room, that is the deepest level that we can honor. That means that that is a son or daughter of Christ, and we should not look at that as ordinary and common. This is the most extravagant, amazing thing, because here's someone who is broken and lost, and they're coming. Are you kidding me? This should be a celebration. This, right? We are placing value on them. Right? If we see a student who is sitting by themselves, what we're doing is, oh, that's just another ordinary common student sitting by themselves. When God says, no, you owe them honor, which means you owe them value, which means you need to go over there and sit with them, bring them into family, because they are valuable. They're valuable. The other thing, and this is a little intimidating for me, but I want to challenge you on this, is has your leader's voice become common and ordinary? Now, I may not have day-to-day interactions with all of you on your teams, but Pastor Allen, Brittany, we've got Kathy and Beth and team leads all over. And has the leader that has been placed in your life in this ministry, have you gone, oh, yeah, I know, I got to, like, greet people. I know I got to, like, check in with a smile, right? Has that voice become common and ordinary, or have you placed value on the place and the role that God has them in the ministry? And so when they're leading you, are you enthusiastically leaning in? Are you placing value on their life? Are you going, you know what, this person is in this place, so I view them as common and ordinary, then I get to the place of this. I don't need them. I don't need them because I don't really value it that much anymore, and I can do what I want to, and it's not so big of a deal. And here's the root of that challenge, and here's the root of that problem. Is his pride. Because we no longer feel like we need that person, or I'm not going to listen to them unless I talk to people three tiers higher, because I really value, you know, someone who's on staff. If they're just a volunteer leader leading this team, I don't value their word as much. They're just common and ordinary. And that is where the gap in our ministry will fail. You see, if Pastor Paul has to come in and correct something every single time, this ministry is not healthy. If the only time that we can listen to people who are giving us direction and where are leading us, if the only time is if the top leader can move in and do that, guess what we're not doing? And we do not have a culture of honor. Honor. The other thing is we honor our you know, many of you, you're paired together in connect groups. And sometimes in connect groups, that can be unequally yoked. You've got a connect group leader that's balling out, doing incredible, sacrificing, loving, and you got another connect group that has an excuse every 3 weeks. Guess what you're not doing? You're not honoring the students that are showing up, and you're not honoring the person that's slaving away trying to prepare those deals. And if you have an excuse every other week, guess what? Here's what it is. That role and job has become ordinary and common. And there's not value placed on, man, this person is slaving away, this person is sacrificing, and you know what? I'm looking for the easy way out. I'm looking for those pockets where the gap can slip through, right? You guys with me on that? So I think this, as we honor in our ministry, I think the power comes because the deeper we honor and the deeper we're celebrating and the deeper we're placing value on every student, every role, every leader, right, the higher we can go, the higher it goes up.